Good morning, Calvary Community Church. Last week, Pastor Rajan, Pastor Crystal, Pastor Jonathan shared about the Word of God. It's very reliable. It has stood over the test of time. Now, today, what the Holy Spirit wants us to spend a few moments dwelling and meditating on is the God of the Word. You know, in life, we go through many times, through many circumstances. And one of the circumstance that we don't like to go through is periods of trials. Periods of uncertainty. Periods where we just don't know what's coming around the corner. Can I have the first slide, please? You know, there was a time when Rachel and I, we were posted in a place called Kuala Pilah, near Juase, all right? In a place called Juase, near Kuala Pilah. And this was in the year 2000. And there used to be this road from Seremban to Kuala Pilah. I don't know whether any of you have gone through that road in the year 1998, 99. Now you've got a nice highway. Now this road was actually called Bukit Putus. It is really winding. And if you can see there, where the lorries are coming. Now, this is a road where it's actually two ways. It's one road going and one road coming. Now, when you go along the bend, you don't know what you're going to see. And what is more frightening is, if as you go along that road, there is another car overtaking another car in your lane. It's frightening. And it's happened quite a few times. So I would have meetings in Seremban, and then I would actually have to go back. And by the time I go back, it's nearly night. And I would have to go through this route, not knowing what comes around the corner. And that is frightening. If what is around the corner is something good, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, surrender our lives to Him, come for praise and worship, pray, CG, everything. But what if what comes around the corner is something unpleasant? Something unpleasantly unexpected. Now, maybe some of us are going through that now. Or maybe some of us have come out of it. And if you're not in both those categories, you may be heading towards it. An unexpected medical condition. I mean, I've seen this happen so many times. Somebody comes with, you know, for a routine blood check, and then suddenly you find something abnormal. What does the doctor say? Let me repeat this blood test again. And then calls you back after 1 week. And after repeating, it's the same thing. Okay, now we have to go to the next step. We have to refer you to a specialist. Something unpleasantly unexpected. I remember that about 40 years ago, when I was studying, there was this friend of ours. Now, she was a very bright student. And she was what you call an all-rounder. Now, in that time, early 1980s, she had for her STPM 4 A's and 1 B, you know. Those days, the whole country will have only maybe 4 or 5 people with 5 A's and few people with 4 A's, 1 B. And she was an all-rounder. She was a sportswoman, and then she was the head girl. And then everyone thought, oh, even our headmaster, teachers, her parents, are sure, this is going to get medicine in UM, University of Malaya, sure. She didn't get it. And those days, for medicine, there was just UM, USM, UKM, that's it. She didn't get for medicine, she got instead for medicine in USM. And she was so heartbroken. Unexpected. Oh, what about love? We have seen people who get engaged and there is a big dinner party for the engagement, and after 4 or 5 years, it breaks up unexpectedly. What do you do? See, sometimes it is very difficult to trust the God that you have faith in. I have faith, you have faith that Jesus is our personal Savior and we are going to heaven one day. We have faith. We have faith that what is written in this book about God is true. He is Jehovah Jireh, the provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, the healer. He is Jehovah Ra'ah, the counselor, the shepherd. But sometimes when it comes to ourselves, can we trust God to heal us? Can we trust God to deliver us? Can we trust God to restore us? There is this disconnect between the God that I have faith in and the God that I actually trust in my daily trials. Now, this is very important. Because your view of God will determine your view of life. Or your view of life will determine your view of God. In other words, if you make God the reference point of your life, you will be able to make sense of all that does not make sense. But if you make your circumstance the reference point of your life, be prepared for hurt, pain, be prepared for loss. When you say that you are trusting God, when you say that you are making God the center point of your life, what you're doing is you are trusting in God's sovereignty. You are trusting that He is in charge. You are trusting that what's happening in your life is not by accident. You know, there was a story. An insurance agent went to see a cowboy. He met the cowboy and asked the cowboy, "Have you had any accidents before?" The cowboy said, "No, I've not had any accidents before." Then the insurance agent says, "But you know, when you filled up the form, it's written here that you've been admitted in the hospital twice." "Oh yes, I was bitten by a rattlesnake once, and I was kicked by a horse another time." Then the insurance agent says, "But aren't all those accidents?" "No." Then the cowboy replies, "No, those are not accidents. All those things happened on purpose. The snake didn't accidentally bite me. It bit me purposefully. The horse didn't accidentally kick me. It purposefully kicked me. No accidents." When you trust the sovereignty of God, you are declaring that, "God, you are the ultimate judge. What you say happens." Can I have the next slide, please? You know, I know there are lawyers here, so I'm very, very careful. Now, this, with my very, very unlawyer, non-legal knowledge, this is roughly the judicial system here, you know. You have the magistrates' courts, you've got the session courts, high court, and then you've got the court of appeal and the federal court. Now, you and I, we all can be judges at the lower courts. We can decide, let's marry this person. We can decide, let's buy this house. We can decide, let's go and buy this car. But ultimately, The God who is the chief judge in the federal court is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he says goes. That is trusting the sovereignty of God. And sometimes, even when we do everything correct in life, oh, we go to church, we attend cell groups, we attend the prayer meetings, we pray, we worship, our quiet time is good. Even when we do everything right in our life, still there are trials. Still there are periods of confusion. You know, when you know the story about Jesus going in the boat with his disciples, Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 25. I mean, here, Jesus finishes preaching. He gets onto the boat, tells his disciples to come onto the boat with him. He tells them, let's go into the water. And they go onto the water, and suddenly there is this fierce storm. And his disciples went to him and woke Jesus up and said, save us, Lord, for we are about to die. I mean, can life be better than this? You attend worship with Jesus, God, and after that, you go on a boat with God. And you have praise and worship on the boat after the church with God. I mean, talk about right place, right time, right person. It is perfect, yet they encountered a fierce storm. My point is this. We all will go through phases in our life called trials. What do we do? What do we do? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Now, I know we have heard this many times. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. This is what we are supposed to do. Trust in the Lord. Now, you see the first few words, trust in the Lord. The sequence is important. Today, we trust in ourselves first, and then we trust in the Lord. You know, there is something called Dr. Google. Do you know that? Dr. Google. So, some time back, I had a 50-year-old lady who came in with her 10-year-old son. These are my regular patients. And the 50-year-old mother comes and says, I've got severe headache. I think it's an aneurysm. The 10-year-old boy comes and says, Doctor, I've got a severe headache. I think it's a tumor. There are three kinds of primary headaches, you know, tension type headache, cluster headache, migraine. When I heard them speaking this, I begin to have tension type headache. This is 10 o'clock at night. You don't want to meet patients like this at 10 o'clock at night at the end of your shift. But then again, you don't want to meet patients like this at 8 o'clock in the morning also. Today, God is not first. The word of God says in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses. And that's us. We are that some, including me. I first trust in all the chariots and all the horses, and then it is God. Let me tell you something. There would be much less pain, much less hurt, much less loss of time if we were to first trust God. You know, I remember when I was small, we had a dog. And after the dog has its bath, we will tie it to the tree. Okay, so that it gets a little dry. And then when we come to that near the dog, Elf, he's so happy to see us. He wants to come to us. But you know what he does? He's so happy, he run. He's tied onto the tree. He will run around that tree and finally get stuck to the tree. Now, I will go and say, no, Elf, you're running the wrong way. But no, Elf knows what is best. Elf is smart. He knows the route. And he goes round and round and round. When he gets stuck, then he looks at me. He wants me to untie him and bring him back. That is us. God is waiting there, but we want to do things our own way. And we go round and round and round. And when we get stuck to the tree, Lord, where are you? Oh God, how could you desert me like this? Oh my God, you are supposed to be my shepherd. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death alone. We go to man first and to God later. Trust in the Lord. Psalm 34, 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Why do we run from the greatest comforter? Why do we run from the person who is all so wise? Trust in the Lord. Now, I know that there are many smart people here who are going to say, look, God has given me brains, right? God has given me intelligence, right? What am I supposed to do with that? See, the word of God says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on to your understanding. Don't throw away. It's not saying to throw away your understanding. It's not saying to destroy your understanding. It's saying don't lean on to your understanding. So the point here is this. Get your understanding under the jurisdiction of God's wisdom. And then you move. Now the second part. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There is no 80% trusting God. There is no 99.9% trusting God. It's trusting God with all your heart. Is that possible? I'll tell you something. Can I just borrow this chair? Right now, all of you sitting here, you are trusting this chair 100%. You are so sure this chair is not going to break. I mean, you are so comfortable in this chair. You can sit like this. Let your mind transiently go to Ashoka restaurant, Sedap Corner, smell the mee laksa, and then come back here to church again. So comfortable. None of you are sitting like this. Oh, in case the chair gives way, none of you are sitting like this. No, if one chair breaks, quickly I can get up. No, you are trusting this chair 100%. There is nothing in me protecting me from a fall here. Nothing. 100% I'm depending on this chair. Trust the Lord your God with all your heart. It's 100% deal. Thank you. Now, why should I trust God? Why should I trust God? Three reasons. He is omnipotent, he is omnipresent, and he is omniscient. Now, omnipotence means the all-powerful God. He is so powerful. Can I have the first slide, please? In the book, the sun and the earth. You know, in the book of Genesis, it is written that God spoke and the universe came into being. The entire universe with its galaxies, billions of galaxies, and its trillions of billions of stars all came into being just because God spoke. He just spoke. Everything came into being. There is nobody more powerful than this. He is above the creation. He is the creator. We trust God because He is an all-powerful God. He just spoke and billions of stars. Actually, it's written about 200 billion trillion stars. And the one star that we all know so well is the sun. And if you look at this slide, the sun is so small comparing to the largest star. The largest star is 136A1. This is the brightest star that actually is 8,700,000 times brighter than the sun. We have a God who is omnipotent, all-powerful, but here is the irony. This omnipotent God, in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst. This all-powerful God is here within our midst. And here's the encouraging thing in 2 Timothy 1:7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power. God is sharing this power with you and me. That is why Philippians 4:13, the Apostle Paul says, I can go through all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This power is all not for him. He's willing to share that power with each one of us as we go through the trial. The power of his wisdom, the power of his healing, the power of his finances, the power of his resilience, the power of his faith. He's willing to share it with us. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 40 verses 12 to 14 that God holds the world in the span of his hand. He is that powerful. The whole world just with the span of his hand. That means he doesn't need the other hand for anything, the other leg for anything. No, just with one hand, he holds this, with the span of his hand, he holds the whole world. Now, you know what is the span of your hand? The span of your hand is the distance between the tip of your thumb to the tip of your finger. The whole world is suspended on the span of his hand. But, you know, when I read this, what I really found so comforting, yeah, sure, I serve a great God. Thank God for that. This is the span of my hand holding the cover of this spectacle case. When God holds the span of the world on his hand, it's suspended like this. With my spiritual imagination, he still can see the palm of his hand. And what's on the palm of his hand? Isaiah 49:16. Isaiah 49:16. Me. This great God, all-powerful God, who suspends the world with the span of his hand, looks at the palm and sees the name Manoj. God is so great to look after the whole world, yet so detailed to look at the name Manoj. It's not tattooed, no, on his hand. You can remove a tattoo. It's not plastered, it is engraved. You can never remove an engravement. He holds the whole world, but he knows the number of hair on my head. And over the years, I've made God's work a lot easier counting the hair of my head. You see, he knows the number. No. This is not the number of hair I had when I married Rachel. I don't think she'd have married me if I got this amount of hair. The number of hair I had 25 years ago and now is different. So at the number of hair I'm going to have tomorrow is going to be different. So he is keeping an eye on me every single day. You and I don't know the number of hair on our heads. He knows. So don't be afraid. He is so powerful, but yet he knows the details of your life and my life. Now, I'm going to go one step further, and this is going to be a bit uncomfortable. Now, God is so big, so powerful, that he can sometimes use the bad things that happens in your life for your good. There is a story about Joseph and his brothers. And his brothers did what? They threw him. They were jealous about Joseph. They threw him into a pit. They threw him into the pit, and from the pit, he was bought as a slave. He went to Potiphar's house. He worked there. He was falsely accused of rape, put back into prison. And then after that, he interpreted dreams and became second in command of Egypt. All these bad things happened for something good. In Genesis 50:20, Joseph summarizes this by saying to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." God, our omnipotent God, trust him even if you're going through aspects and times in your life when you think that everything is wrong. It can't be right. God can use that situation. He's so powerful that he can use that situation for something greater. You see, the thing with us is, when we go before God and we say, "Oh, God answered my prayer." What's the meaning of "God answered my prayer"? God gave me the job I wanted. God allowed me to marry the person I wanted. God allowed me to buy the house in the taman that I wanted. God gave me the university that I applied for. Only then God has answered my prayer. Now, that is a very wrong, contorted concept of Christianity. So when bad things happen in our life, not because of our own doing, see, you go and you eat roti canai garing. First time I'm hearing roti canai garing, roti canai tamba minya, and your cholesterol shoots up and you get a heart attack. Don't blame God for that, okay? I'm talking of a situation where you are on the same page from God, with God, and yet things happen to you. You see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, this is the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 9. Now he says, three times, verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me." Now I want to ask you, Paul prayed to God. Did God answer Paul or not? He did. The answer was not what Paul wanted to hear, but that was an answer. The thorn remained. The pain remained. And the Apostle Paul says, I boast about my weakness. So Apostle Paul is not boasting about the pain of his trial. Apostle Paul is not boasting about the hurt of his trial. Apostle Paul is not boasting about the discomfort of his trial. Apostle Paul is boasting about the purpose of the trial. God answers all prayer, but maybe not the way we want it to be. Approximately 30 years ago, there was a very nice boy, nice Christian, good-looking boy from Kluang. Okay, I don't want to mention names. And this nice, good-looking Christian boy from Kluang wanted to do medicine. And he applied to this university, and he got admission in this university. Now, this university was in a foreign country. This university had two campuses, Campus A and Campus B. For nearly, from 1970s, early 1970s, all Malaysians would go to Campus A to do medicine. All non-Malaysians would go to Campus B. So Campus A, which is nearly 2 hours away from Campus B, has got a Malaysian feel to it. I mean, it's a foreign country, but you can still buy, nasi lemak. You can still get wantan mee. You can still get kuih tiao. Because all the students before us from the 70s taught all the restaurant people there how to make all this Malaysian food. So it was really like a second home. So I applied, and all me and my friends, we already contacted our seniors. They, hey, we are coming. Okay, get everything ready. So they booked the rooms for us, and the rooms there are better because they know how to handle the Malaysians. So we all getting ready to go there, and then suddenly we get this letter. From this year onwards, all Malaysians, 150 of us, are going to go to Campus B. Oh, started. Prayer, fasting, telling the pastors to pray, telling the Achan to pray, telling whoever we could get who knows the Lord to pray, pray, pray. Please let us all go back to Campus A. That's where everyone is. It's like the second home. You know, you won't feel homesick. You know, you'll be able to study properly because you're amongst your senior who are your friends from Kluang High School. So let's go to Campus A. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. I got Campus B. God didn't answer my prayer. Now, in Campus B, I went to Campus B. There happened to be a girl in Campus B called Bible Rachel. Now, you know, good Christian boy from Kluang, how to say no to Bible Rachel? To cut a long story short, this Bible Rachel today is my wife, is the mother of my children, is my pastor, is my personal doctor, my dietitian, my nutritionist, everything. Today, if you ask me, did God answer my prayer? Yes, He did. God can make what seemingly to be bad to actually bring about good in your life because He's an omnipotent God. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. Now the second point, and I'm going to go a bit fast, is God is omnipresent. God, we serve an omnipresent God. Now omnipresent means He is everywhere. He is in my past, He is in my present, and He is in my future. That is why in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11, where we all know it so well, where God says, I know the thoughts that I have for you, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts to prosper you. Now, God is telling this through the prophet Jeremiah to the Israelites who are held captive, who are being brought to Babylon as slaves. To those people, God is telling, I know the plans that I have for you. Now, it is not like, look, I know the plans I have for you. No. Look here. You are going as slaves. It is true, but it is not the end of your story. I have seen your future. I am in your future, and you will prosper. We only know now. God has seen our future, and our future is good. The future for you is you're going to be a good father. You're going to be a good mother. You're going to be a good grandparent. You're going to be a good student. You're going to be an inspiring teacher. That is the future that God has for you. He sees that future because he is an omnipresent God. He has been in our future. Trust the omnipresent God. Can I have the praise and worship team, please? And the third final thing, why we trust in God is because he is omniscient. He knows everything. We are trained to look for answers. And when we don't get answers, we feel lost. I mean, you go to school, if you are the boy who can answer all the questions, you're a good boy. And if you don't know the answer, well, you are the person who looks for the answer and gets the answer, you're a good person. But sometimes in life, we don't have answers. And therefore, we have to trust the omniscient God who has all the answers. You know, we are people who go and say, look, yes or no. I remember when I was in Form 5, we were having a class party at the end. And this girl, Bernice, not her real name, like the guy called Alan, not his real name. And she goes to him and says, look, Alan, do you love me or not? Yes or no? Alan answered what? No. Maybe. What if you're in a maybe moment in your life right now? You don't know. Can I share something with you? Don't focus on the why. Focus on the what. Don't focus on why am I going bankrupt? Why am I not being able to have a stable relationship? Why am I not passing at maths? Why am I not passing physics? Why? Don't totally focus on, now you have to focus on why to find out. If you have to change, you change. But supposing you just don't have the answer, focus not on the why, but on the what. It's like someone who comes to the clinic and is wheezing like this, you know, bad asthma. You don't ask the person, hey, why you are getting asthma now? You don't ask the person, hey, why you didn't take your brown color inhaler? You don't ask your person, why every year you only now at night to get it? You don't ask. You treat the asthma first. You nebulize him. You give him intravenous steroids if needed. You deal with the what and not with the why. We serve an omniscient God who knows the whys of everything. And sometimes God does not lower down his level to our intellect to explain why. He just wants us to trust him. You know, our son Joshua came back after finishing law, and then he said he wanted to do masters. We prayed. Rachel and I prayed, and we thought, all right, okay, fine. We prayed and we felt, yeah, this is what God wants you to do. On January 14th, something totally unexpected happened in his life. It rattled Rachel and me. Parents, have you ever gone through the situation where something happens to your child and you say to God, God, why couldn't it happen to me? Why did it have to happen to my child? It is that kind of a situation. January 14th, February 14th, March 14th, April 14th. 4 months, every day. I would sleep at about 12 and wake up about 4, crying to God, why is this happening? And this event was going to probably alter his whole life. That's what Rachel and I thought. And Rachel and I reached a point where we realized we're not going to focus on the why. We're going to focus on just trusting God. God has given us a word. We're going to trust on it. Let me ask you, we can sing about praising God, worshiping God, but I want to ask you, when things go wrong, do you trust God enough to still praise Him? Do you trust God enough to worship Him? Do you trust God enough to go to church? Do you trust God enough to give to Him? Because the enemy was tempting Rachel and me so much. Oh, quit praying for others. Quit doing home visitations. Quit going to hospital and visiting people. Quit standing behind the pulpit and sharing. Quit. Just go home. Lean on your own understanding and think and worry and do all those things for your family. This is real. But Rachel and I had to make that decision. Just as you and I. The power to make the decision is on us. We had to make the decision. God, we are going to trust you. We told Pastor Rajan, Pastor Betty, they were praying along with us. See, it's very important when God gives you a promise to get the right people to support you, to pray for you, to encourage you. Because there's a lot of people out there who can give you the wrong advice. And I'll tell you something. Thank God that in this church, there are people who'll stand by you. There are people who'll pray with you. To cut a long story short, on 1st of September, I followed Joshua to Canada to do his master's. He got his admission, and as I was sitting by Lake Ontario, his campus, the end of it is at Lake Ontario, and I was just sitting there, and I was just looking back. And I thank God that Rachel and I chose to trust Him. It was so difficult, you know. See, sometimes God doesn't want to hear us telling we trust Him. We are supposed to do things to trust Him. We had to book the flight ticket. We had to bravely apply to universities. We had to just trust Him. We had to do things. Trust the Lord your God with all your heart. There is only good and blessings at the end of it. Can we pray? Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for this time. Thank you for speaking to each one of us. And we pray, Lord, that we would trust you in your omnipotence, on your omnipresence, and on your omniscience, Lord. We thank you and we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We pray. Amen. Okay, the praise and worship team will be singing. Can you please get your emblems ready?
Oh, I will be a living sacrifice.
Jesus. I hope you have your emblems ready. Can we pray for the communion? Father, we thank you for this communion. Thank you a lot for what you did on the cross. Because of what you did on the cross, we have hope. We know the plans that you have for us is good, to prosper us, to keep us safe. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, Lord. As we partake in this Holy Communion, we want to appreciate what you did for us, and we want to renew our trust and hope and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. If you don't know who Jesus is and you want to take that step of trusting him, shall we all bow our heads and can you say this prayer after me? Dear Jesus, I am a sinner and I need you as my Savior. Come into my life and be my personal Savior. My life is never going to be the same again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have said this prayer, please meet one of the pastors or one of us after this service. Thank you, Jesus. I hope you have your emblems ready. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake in the bread, with the bread together. Same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This, do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us drink of the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. Can you put your cups aside? As the praise and worship team sings this song, regardless of what you're going through right now, would you make that commitment to trust him? This is a conversation between God and you. You may be going through a sickness, a breakup, a business failure, an academic failure. You may be going through a bad news with the doctor. You may be going through a period of confusion. Will you take that step today to say, "God, I trust you"?
And I will be a living sacrifice. All my heart and soul to glorify. I offer nothing less than all my life for Jesus Christ. Oh, and I will be a living sacrifice. All my to glorify.
Thank you, Jesus. We come before you today to make this commitment. Especially what we are going through, we may not understand, but Lord, we make this commitment that we are going to trust you. You are omnipotent, you are omniscient, you are omnipresent. You may hold the whole world in the span of the finger of your hands, but Lord, my name is engraved on the palm of your hand. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, we worship you, and we surrender our lives to you. In Jesus' name, we pray.